Welcome to Grit with Wisdom. This is the podcast that delves deep into the inner psyche of mountain bikers from all aspects of our sport in order to discover the tools and the tactics that can help us have more fun out on the trails more often. Our aim here is to help you understand what it takes to push our own personal boundaries in the sport we love from a mental and emotional perspective. Today on the show, I'm sitting down with Natasha Bradley. Natasha is an English rider who calls Queenstown, New Zealand home. Earlier this year, she took home the True Blue Award at the Dark Horse Women's Freeride event and is well known for bringing the hype, getting everyone stoked, and just genuinely having a good time out on the bike. From BMX to enduro, downhill racing to freeride, Natasha is one hell of a multidisciplined rider and is known for being one of the fastest four cross mountain bikers in the world, having taken out four British championships and winning a silver medal at the World Championships. If you're not familiar with four cross racing, fear not, we'll get into that in just a second. Natasha, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
Stoked to have you here. How was that intro? Did I miss anything
thanks
there?
No, that was very kind words. Thank you. No, you pretty much summed it up, I reckon.
Fantastic. Well, always good when I get it right. Don't have to fact check
me. Yeah.
Sweet. Well, I think it would be cool just to start off here by winding the clock right back. Maybe you can tell our listeners a little bit about who you are and where you grew up.
Okay, well, my name's Natasha. I'm born and bred in Torquay in the West Country of England, best land in the world. Started BMX racing when I was about 10 years old. Used to just go to like my local track with my brother and my friends, just like riding about, having a laugh, like nothing too serious. Then started racing at like 11, 12 and was getting real into it and did the national series for like 6 years, did some world championships, did a couple Euro rounds. Come everywhere from like first to last the national series, you know, I've done it all. And then yeah, like when I was 16, started getting a bit tired of BMX, you know, it was kind of like same old thing. And then someone mentioned four cross to my dad and he was like, we should go give it a go. So when I was like 17, we went to Hart Hill, I think my first race was. Pretty sick track actually, and was kind of hooked from there. Like it's similar to BMX in a sense where the gate drops, you're racing other people, racing on a track with corners, and basically the first person across the line wins. So I feel like that's my favorite type of racing, to be honest. And then was hooked from there, really.
Yeah,
and then
so just, yeah. It's BMX, but with a rougher surface.
Pretty much, yeah. Just like, if you've ever seen ski crossing in the Olympics, similar kind of vibe, but basically four people on the gate drops, and you just ride down a steep, rough track with grass, rocks and jumps.
Fantastic. Sounds like a good time.
It is a good time, that's for sure.
So cool to hear you got into it so young and kind of went full throttle.
Yeah.
Into BMX racing. What were your parents like? Were they pretty supportive and into bikes themselves?
Yeah, I mean, they weren't like, a lot of BMX parents are like really pushy and, you know, like, they weren't like that at all.
The hockey dad kind of thing.
Yeah, they weren't like that at all, but they were just like really encouraging for like whatever I wanted to pursue.
Oh.
And they'd, you know, take me along and it was never about winning. It was just about having fun.
Awesome.
Still the same now, really.
Yeah, that's so cool. And what about riding there with your brothers? Was there any kind of sibling rivalry?
Oh, sure, yeah. Yeah, he's out of everyone I know, the only person I want to beat is my brother, which I do.
That's okay. Fantastic. Yeah.
But yeah, back then.
Oh, don't rub it in. You might be listening.
Hopefully. Yeah, he used to beat me a fair bit, and then I started beating him, and it's just, you know, big rivalry, but he hasn't ridden in a couple of years, and I've been over here riding.
Right.
And he's coming over in January, so. We're going to have to do a race, and I've got my money on myself.
You think you're going to cover? That's awesome. Well, it's going to be fantastic to be riding with him again.
Yeah, it'd be sick.
You're obviously incredibly passionate about all things bikes. I'm curious, like, what is it about mountain bikes or bikes in general that keeps you so motivated, so passionate?
Good question. Kind of everything around it. I mean, I really like the social aspect around it. So all the people you meet, all mountain bikers are so friendly. You know, you're going out riding with your friends. The places it takes you as well, like all over Europe, wouldn't have been to half those places if I didn't mountain bike. I wouldn't be here if I didn't mountain bike. It's just good times as well. I do like getting the heart up to speed, you know?
Totally.
Scaring myself a bit, which is fun. Yeah, just everything
good for
about
the soul,
it.
Isn't it? And yeah. You said earlier, this is like your fourth summer in a row.
Yeah, which is sick. So good. Yeah, I mean, that's bike orientated, but I also grew up right by the sea, so I do love summer. And all summer activities, just being out in the sun, having a good time, hanging out on the beach. So if it was winter right now, we wouldn't be sat doing this.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
It's definitely harder to do these podcasts when it gets to winter. Oh. That's for sure.
some of our last months in Canada were a little chilly.
Oh yeah, I bet. Outside as well.
Yeah, exactly. So moving on, these days you're doing some free ride events as well.
Yeah.
You're at the Dark Horse event earlier in the year. When did you first start getting into the bigger jumps and the more free ride aspect of the sport?
So, to be honest, I've always kind of been into doing bigger jumps, but maybe like about 5 or 6 years ago, I was at a full cross race in the Czech Republic. It was, what's his name? Thomas Slavik's track. And he has these like crazy massive jumps. The track's insanely gnarly. There's a video somewhere of a full cross race and some dude's doing a wall ride.
Right.
He overtakes someone. It's like that track. And these jumps are big jumps and no other woman had done them before. No one was doing them. And I was like, I want a crack. My friend told me in the first time and I cased the first one and I pushed back up and he was like, right, you got this. And I sent both of them. And it was insane. The feeling it gave me was mad. And then didn't really dabble with big jumps a couple years after then. And then it's just like now and again, there'll be some big jumps, but I want to hit them. And it's just kind of like that, really. And then I went Revs last year for that Evolve women's session. And I was there a couple of days before and they've got the big line, 50-1 line. And I was like, before I got that, I was like, I'm going to do that. It was just such a good feeling.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, like the heart racing at the start, all the calculations, right? I know I'm going quick enough. I know I've got the skills to do it. And then making yourself do it. And then landing it fine. And all that.
Do you ever get nervous when you first show up to like a new jump line like this and you're like, I really want this?
Yeah, big time. Yeah, but I feel like nerves are good. Like, you know, shows you're a little bit scared, which is smart because if you're dropping into something that is quite big and you're not that scared, then you're probably not thinking about it.
Right, like you can almost be too relaxed and not focused enough.
Yeah, yeah. So I feel like a bit of nerves is good to focus you. Yeah, it's good to be a bit scared, I reckon.
Totally. Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you ever, sometimes I feel like really nervous to the point where I feel like it's not helping my riding. Do you ever like encounter that?
There's definitely moments like that. And then sometimes I'll just listen to myself and I won't ride that day or I won't do anything that I don't think I'm ready to do or my mind is going to allow me to do.
Yeah.
Because there's definitely moments when like, I feel like I'd get that more so on tech. Like if there's something really, really gnarly, I'd just like stiffen up and be too scared. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to help myself going down this thing. I'll probably crash. And then I just won't do it.
Right, yeah, yeah. Kind of go ride something easier, kind of feel the flow again.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Fully.
Yeah, awesome. That was a question I wanted to ask you. Like, you're such a multidisciplined rider. You're doing downhill riding, technical stuff, big jumps.
Yeah.
BMX racing, the works. How does your attitude or approach change when you're going through different disciplines?
Damn, I mean, I feel like mountain biking for me is such a mental game anyway. So I feel like each day is different. You know, some days I'm really up for pushing the limits and trying new things. And then other days I don't want to do that. And I just want to, you know, stay in my lane, doing what I'm used to. So I do feel like certain disciplines does change me. Watching some bike videos before you go is always good.
Yeah, getting stoked before you head out.
Yeah, getting stoked before you head out. And just like thinking about it before you go, like, right, I'm going up bike park and be riding this, you know, this is what I need to do. Change the bike settings a little bit and just get yourself in the zone then. Or if I knew I was going up to like Dream, maybe watching some videos of Dream and stuff like that.
Nice.
And just like in my head, listening to music and thinking about, right, doing Dream, doing big jumps and just setting myself up that way.
That's fantastic. And just watching the videos, does that help you with the visualization process? Kind of seeing what it's going to look like?
Yeah, fully. And like seeing that it's going to be mint and like watching people send it and do really well. I was like, fuck yeah, if they can do it, I can.
So rad.
Yeah,
yeah. I love that attitude. I'd love to hear you talk about Dark Horse.
Dark Horse was sick. So I didn't know where I was going. So Georgia invited me to go stay with her and I'll stay with her in BC.
Georgia Estelle, right?
Yeah. And then her and Vinny was like, right, you're coming up to Casey's event, Dark Horse. I was like, what? They were like, yeah, you're going to ride it. I was like, no way. That's sick. So never been to Revy before. And we got put up in a hotel, which is pretty mad.
So how many days out did you find out you're going to this event? You're competing?
I feel like I knew maybe a month before, but I didn't really know like what it was going to be like. Because Vinny was just like, bro, I got you invited to Dark Horse. I was like, no way. So I was pretty hyped for it. And it was sick. Yeah, it was just like real good to meet loads of new people as well. I haven't really hung out with Casey before. So that was cool. We got like bike park passes. We had loads of workshops. And we rode like the Dark Horse line.
Yeah.
And there were so many young girls absolutely ripping as well, which is really good to see.
Super cool to see.
Yeah, like Morgan. She only lives in Wanaka, the town over. She's an absolute shredder. She's 17. The way she rides the bike is mad.
So it's amazing. Yeah.
It hypes you up because it's like, oh my God, like these young girls are pushing the limits so much. Like you got to like push them even more.
Yeah, it's crazy to think what the next generation will be doing.
The next generation is going to be next.
Imagine when she's 27. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah, it's so good. So good.
Fantastic. So after doing that event, have you got your sights set on any other, you know, free ride events you'd like to go and compete in?
Oh yeah,
any goals there?
I'd love to go to Darkfest. That's definitely on the cards for sure. I've been speaking to a few people, but okay. I don't think I've got the invite for this coming Darkfest. But if I'm not going to the next one, I'm going to the next one.
It's fantastic.
I'll be
love
there.
It. Yeah, yeah.
I'll be there. It all really is money dependent as well. I'd love to get back over to Europe and do a couple of the Fest series stuff.
Yeah.
That would be pretty sick. And I did go to Reese Wallace's event in Canada, and I had a really good time there. I mean, I'd love to do as many events as possible, but I feel like definitely Magaza Fest here, hopefully Crankworx on the North Island, and then hopefully try and get over to Canada and Europe and just
fantastic.
Do whatever events I can.
Yeah, yeah. So cool to hear, like so many awesome things in the pipeline.
Yes, yeah. Lots of things in the pipeline for sure.
Awesome. So in the meantime, practicing here in Queenstown, I'm curious, do you have a process or any kind of thing you'll follow when you're learning a new trick, when you're trying new things?
So lately I haven't been so good because I've just come back off injuries. I'm still kind of feeling rusty and like I haven't really been trying any new tricks because I'm like still just like getting back to speeds. But normally it would be go to the mulch, practice it on the mulch, get it dialed on the mulch, probably on the middle mulch because there's three lips, then go to the bigger side, do it on that. And then the lips are really similar to the last jump on Mini Dream.
Nice.
They're wooden jumps as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Transfer it onto Mini Dream, practice it on the last jump because that one's like really easy.
Perfect.
And then chart on a bigger jump.
Beautiful.
Basically.
Yeah, yeah, step by step.
Yeah.
Yeah, so cool to hear. Sorry to hear about the injury. It's always a bummer.
Oh, it is.
But you're on the like, other side of it.
Exactly. I'm all sweet. I've done, I think, 3 years in a row now, I've done a collarbone every year.
So you've just broken a collarbone pretty recently?
Yeah, collarbone, and I did slight separation to my shoulder and my hand in two places. Yeah, the hand is still actually a bit iffy. I need to get that looked at, really.
Yeah, yeah. It's tough, isn't it? There's so many moving pieces in the hand.
Yeah, yeah, which is crazy. Like, all the rough stuff, I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I bet. And outside of riding, you work as a chef.
I do, I do.
Currently?
Yeah.
Wow, so there's no getting away from it.
There's really none, no, which is, yeah, it's good, though. Keeps me busy.
Totally. It's a great attitude.
Yeah.
And I guess that's another process all in itself, the process of coming back from an injury and deciding, like,
yeah,
when's the right time to do each new thing?
It is hard because it's like, I don't want to push the limits too much because, frankly, the pain isn't really the issue. It's the time off the bike that sucks. Because also, if I hurt myself, I'm not going to get able to go to work and then pay bills.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think like I've had a few couple good sessions the last couple weeks. So I'm like feeling like I'm able to push the limits a bit more. And I had a really big stack onto my like recently healed collarbone. It was huge. And as soon as I like went down, I was like, no, I just saw it happening. Landed. As soon as I landed, I was like, oh, not broken. It hurt, but I'm fine. So that was actually a good sign to show that like, I can crash and like the strength's there again.
Right. That's so interesting, isn't it? So the crash, rather than diminishing your confidence, you're actually like, no, I'm healed and strong.
Yeah. I mean, it hurt, but I'm healed and strong. Yeah.
So cool. So it sounds like it's a very intuitive process for you, kind of feeling into how you're feeling on the bike and then taking it gradually from there.
Yeah. Exactly that, really.
Yeah. Awesome. And I wanted to ask, you said mountain biking is like a huge mental game for you.
Yeah.
Is there anything you've learned over the years or anything like specific strategies or techniques you'll use to help you when you're perhaps not having the best day on the bike and you want to get back into the zone?
Oof. So when I'm not having a good day on the bike, I find it really hard to get back into the zone. Obviously, you got to take the rough with the smooth. I mean, not every day is going to be the best day ever. So definitely don't beat yourself up about it, I'd say. You know, if you're not feeling it and you're not doing as good as you can do, don't beat yourself up about it. There's always another day. But I'd say just like, I'm just out having fun on my bike. It's nothing serious. Listening to music as well, I find helps me. Like getting me in the zone.
Yep, fantastic.
Listening to music and just, you know, just positive self-talk, really.
Yep.
I'd say to get me in the zone.
Yeah, yeah, that's great.
Shout at myself sometimes. Depends.
Yeah, yeah. Do you find it depends whether you need kind of like lifting up or bringing down to the heightened
fully.
State?
Yeah. Like, I don't know, if I'm going to do, like, if it's a big day and I'm, like, pushing the limits, so I'm talking to myself a lot and, like, hyping myself up a fair bit. Or just, like, telling myself to chill and calm down and, like, slow down,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, it can go both ways,
can't
it?
Really
can, sometimes
yeah.
we can get, like, overhyped and then we can't think.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then you're just all over the shop, but, yeah.
Do you have any favourite mottos or, like, mantras you'll say to yourself?
Oh, pain is temporary and glory is forever.
That's a great one.
Yeah,
fantastic. We haven't heard that one on the podcast yet.
Yeah. That's my home one.
Great. Yeah. So that's something you'll say when you're out there riding.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Because if you're going to, like, you've got to be prepared to crash as well. I mean, like, you know, and that's the thing, is like crashing ain't that bad. If I need to eat a collarbone, I will. But at the end of the day, I'm getting through that jump line. So this is what happened to backwards, essentially.
Right. Yeah.
Where I crashed. Like, I got through the whole line mint a good few times, but then just like over cocky. There was a crowd there. I wasn't going quick enough for one of the jumps. I would have pulled out normally, but I was like, stuff it. But when you're dropping into stuff like that, you've fully got to be prepared to have a big crash.
Yeah, you've got to accept the consequences.
Yeah, like obviously no one wants to crash. I don't want to crash, but... And I don't think about crashing when I'm dropping in at all. It's just you've got to accept that it may happen.
Yeah, totally. This kind of leads straight into a question I often like to ask people. For mountain bikers, perhaps on the other end of their career that are starting out, what do you think is more important? Learning how to crash right or learning the correct skills so that they don't crash as often?
Correct skills, 100%. No one wants to crash. No, don't learn how to crash right.
It's a common debate, right? Everyone's like, oh, if you're a mountain bike, you've got to learn how to crash.
Oh, no, I would suggest learning the correct skills, and along that way, you'll get a fair few crashes under your belt, and having the more crashes, you'll learn how to crash, I'd say.
Yeah, I really agree with that. Because often I'll follow that question up with like, well, how do we crash?
I mean, I've had hundreds of crashes in my time, and I still don't know, you know, as soon as it happens, you don't know what's going on. It's just happening. The way you fall off your bike, you can't help that.
Totally. Yeah. If crashing is a skill, it's a really hard one to practice.
Oh, so
it's
like, let's not rehearse that. Yeah. Let's not rehearse that one.
Me too. Yeah. And speaking of challenging things, what's been one of your biggest challenges on the bike over the years? This could be like learning a certain new skill, a certain race. It could be anything.
Pedaling up a hill.
Great answer.
100% pedaling up hills. Yeah, definitely.
Right. Still working on that one.
Yeah, I'm not great at pedaling. I don't really like pedaling that much. So that would be it. Like, if we're doing a pandemic, I mean, I did smash a pandemic the other day, but I got up that hill real well and I was really proud of myself. But I'd have to give myself a pep talk to get up the hill. Whilst I'm going up that, I'm in the zone.
Yeah. And for the international listeners here, that's a trail that goes up out of the bike park. So you get a chairlift some of the way.
Oh, yeah, I'm getting a chairlift halfway up and I'm still pedaling more.
Sufferfest after that.
Yeah, it is.
What does your pep talk look like when you're on the uphill grides?
Lots of heavy breathing and you can do this.
You can do this.
And just like get it over and done with. It'll be okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Get the head down and get it done. That's great. I know you've had the opportunity to ride with so many great riders. You've also been involved in a lot of coaching as well, which we'll talk about in a second.
Yeah.
But I'm curious, have you ever had any really good advice from a mentor that's stuck around in the back of your head?
Oh, nothing I can think of off the top of my head, but I want to say there's definitely been moments where people have given me tips and I've been like, that is just really clicked. But nothing I can think of right now.
Totally. That's all good. If it comes to you during a conversation, feel free to let me know. That's great. And like talking about setting new goals, you've obviously got some really hefty goals. You want to get to all these events. You're working on tricks all the time.
Yeah.
You're trying to keep up with all the different disciplines of riding you're into. I'm curious, like, how do you go about setting yourself goals that are like achievable and you're stoked about, but not so far out of your sights that they make you perhaps like anxious or frustrated?
That's a good question. I like to write things out. Write it out. Once it's on the paper, you can kind of read it and see where you're at. And then it's like, right, I want to learn how to knack. Okay, well, I can already do a 1 foot Euro. I'm not that far, you know, I already take 1 foot off. I'm not that far away from moving the bike around and getting my back foot off there. I can go to Mini Dream 3 times a week and I can achieve that by then. So just like making it more small and manageable, I guess.
I love that. Yeah, chipping it down into small blocks. But
yes.
I also love that you write it down.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, for myself, I think it's a really good way to kind of reflect and be like, I can already do this, and this. I am already doing this.
Yeah. And also just like, writing what you're going to do in that week. It's like, right, on Monday, I'm going to go Gorge. On Tuesday, I'm going to go Mini Dream, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, right, I'm doing this in the week. I know I'm doing this. And this is, if I'm doing all this, this is how I'm going to achieve my goals.
Right, yeah. So you've got kind of like that visual representation of like, yeah, I am doing the work. I deserve to be here.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah, I really love that approach.
Yeah.
Do you use writing down or like journaling for anything else, like writing or mindset related?
I like to write out my plans for the year and if I have any plans for things or certain goals, non-bike related, certain stuff like in the gym and stuff like that. I like to write my own gym programs, but I don't do any journals or anything like that.
Yeah. More so like planning out and
more planning and just like, writing stuff down. Cause then I feel like sometimes the time can get away from you. You know, if you don't like write stuff down and structure it, it's like, oh, you're just like going to the bike park and going through the motions. Whereas if you're like writing down and planning stuff, then it's like, right. I said I was going to do a knack. I wrote this down a month ago. I haven't been going to the mulch or doing anything I can do to do that. So it's just like looking back and stuff.
Yeah, that's such a cool way to like hold yourself accountable rather than be like, yeah, I want to do this one day.
Yeah.
And then well, that one day never comes kind of thing. Because it is easy to, I fall into that trap all the time, just riding the same trails that are fun, but you're not really pushing your limits.
Yeah, you're like fully in a rut. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is just, yeah, pushing the limits. And that's how I do it really. It's just like write stuff down, structure it. And it's like, now I know what I need to do.
It's such a dull process. It's obviously working.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, fantastic. And yeah, speaking of the mental skills, like for you when you're out there riding or when you're pushing your limits, if you had to put a percentage on it, how much of riding would you say is mental for you?
Oh,
tough question, I know.
That is a tough question. Probably 65% of it is a mental game, I'd say.
Nice.
For me, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. And then what would you make up the other?
Oh, okay.
The other 35%.
The other 35%, I'd say 25% of it was just sheer stupidity going for it. And the other 10% was skill.
Yeah, nice. So just 10% of the technical skill.
Yeah. I'd say. The other bit is just go for it. Yeah. Just like, yeah.
Fantastic, yeah. And I guess, yeah, that's a skill in itself, is that like knowing when the right time to turn that switch on and go for it is.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's not just like a band-aid, one-stop shop to like getting better at riding.
Yeah.
Because we could definitely put ourselves into some sketchy situations if we use that switch all the time. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Like the thing is, you've got to build the skills up and also build your, like, for example, jumps up. Like you couldn't just go straight to dream or something. Like a lip that steep, you would die. You know.
Yeah,
you
got to
like, you've got to build it up strategically and be like, right, well, I've done that jump there at Mini Dream. I know I can do that next big one. And that's pretty similar to the other big one I want to do. And it's the same with tech as well. Oh, tech is the same, but I feel like you can get away with a bit more on just letting go of those brakes.
Totally. Yeah.
Pointing and shooting.
The thing I love about tech is often I'm riding a lot slower. So if I do make a mistake, like often the consequences aren't quite as bad.
Yeah, I feel like the stuff with downhill, I feel like something on Thunder Goat, you'd hurt yourself more so on the trail we did.
Yeah.
The trail we did, I don't know, like, there's some soft bits, there's a few trees, but like Thunder Goat, it's all just really hard packed and it encourages you to go really quick.
Totally.
Whereas like steep shoots aren't as bad generally.
Yeah, I think like some of the hard packed kind of green and blue machine built trails in the park have way more sketchy moments there than I do on the steep stuff.
Same. Yeah, the other day I had a huge stack because I just wasn't paying attention. It just lost the front end.
That's a really common thing I hear from so many riders, say, like, we crash on the easy stuff after we've done the hard thing.
Yeah.
I think it's, like you say, we lapse concentration. We're like, good, we're out of the woods now. Like, start thinking about dinner or whatever else.
Yeah, and then boom.
Yeah. It's funny how that works out, hey? Wanted to talk here a little bit about racing. Obviously, you've been racing since you're, like, 10 or 12 years old.
Yeah.
Breadth of racing experience. And talking about the mindset there, how does your mindset change when you're riding in a competition versus when you're just out there riding for fun?
So, I mean, I did only a couple competitions this year, Crankworx twice. I'd say definitely just like, I didn't enjoy it as much, actually. The racing I used to enjoy a lot more. This year, I didn't really enjoy it. I guess I'm just more focused, really just like analyzing the track, analyzing your like opponents.
Okay.
And just going from there, really. I'd say I'm still pretty just like there to have fun, though. Like always there to have fun, have a good time. But like, obviously, once the gate drops, like I'm there to win, essentially.
Yeah.
You know, but just positive attitude, make sure you eat some healthy food and just know where you're going on the track with whatever discipline that may be.
Fantastic. Yeah. Did you find the competition kind of took away just a little bit of the fun for you this year? Or?
Yeah, I think it did. Actually, that's exactly what it did. I think it just took away a bit of the fun. Plus, definitely not as quick as I'd like to be. My own fault. Hadn't been training hard. Like, if you want to be competing at, you know, high level events, you've got to be training specifically for
that. Yeah, I guess that needs to be your number one focus.
Yeah, and I hadn't been training specifically for stuff like that, and it's just that I wasn't as quick as I thought I was going to be, and it wasn't as dialed, and wasn't really enjoying it because I was just like, I'd rather just be like riding the bike park.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah.
So is that kind of your focus going forward, kind of more into the free ride side of things?
Definitely.
And the jobs?
Like, I'm not super fussed on racing anymore. I don't mind doing the odd race, you know, for a laugh, but definitely more just focused on free ride events and just pushing the limits in, you know, bike park speed, jumps, dream and tricks, really.
Yeah, fantastic. So you can still compete, you can still be competitive and progress, but in a different discipline.
Pretty much, yeah.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for listening. If you're enjoying the podcast, don't forget to give it a like, give it a subscribe. And if you'd like to know more about my journey in mountain biking and my background as a mountain bike coach, check out episode number 29, where I dive a little bit deeper into that. Now let's get right back to the podcast. That kind of leads into, another question I want to ask you. Obviously, you've raced in a whole bunch of different disciplines, from downhill, BMX, all cross. Does your mindset change at all, like lining up at the start gate for different races, different disciplines?
BMX is the gnarliest by far, because you got 7 other people on the gate with you. So, like, I mean, I also think it's my favourite, though, BMX and four cross, because I like racing other people. Because you're not only concerned about what you're going to do, but what everyone else is going to do on the gate. So you're like, oh my God, like literally your bar's like inches away from each other, like trying to get in the zone. I like talk to myself on the gate, just like getting myself in the zone, just firing yourself up. Whereas downhill, I find it harder to like get myself in the zone because it's just me.
Right, and it's super quiet.
Yeah, it's super quiet. It's just me. And it's just very different to what I'm like. You like a race in my head is like racing against people on the same track.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, so different, hey?
So
that's why
different.
It fascinates me that you're being competitive in both, because they're like 2 different sports.
Yeah, very different.
Yeah. And do you find, I feel like it's a lot of pressure, any downhill races I've done, because it's like one run. You're like, right, I've got one chance to be faster than everyone else, or faster than I think I could be, like, beat myself. Whereas, BMX and enduro races, you have multiple rounds, so it's like, okay, if I mess one up, maybe I'll do better the next round.
Yeah, fully. It's just, like, that's the thing, you just got one run against the clock and that's it. Which is mad.
Yeah, so any like techniques or tools or tips for people racing downhill, feeling the pressure, is there anything you'll do to kind of focus on the task at hand?
Don't know if I ever dealt with it well. but just like remembering the track, watching your GoPro footage before you even drop it, I think is a good one. Just like memorizing the track and just focusing on your breathing and looking ahead. I always just tell myself, right, look ahead, now the next corner. Don't focus on what's to come, just literally just like where your eyes should be and just telling yourself, you know, stand up tall, look ahead and stuff like that.
Fantastic. So just giving yourself commands what you want to do.
Yeah, because if else your mind wanders and you're like, oh my God, I'm not going quick enough, I'm going too quick.
Totally.
Or I slam the brakes on there. Don't think about any of that. For me personally, it's just right, look ahead, go.
I find it so hard not to think about the corner behind me, so I just blew out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and then it gets in your mind and then you mess up the next corner. It's a vicious cycle.
It is, isn't it? Yeah, so you mentioned breathing there. I think that's a fantastic way to kind of ground yourself back into the present. Specifically, how do you use breathing to help you?
Just really focus on breathing through the nose, nice and slow, and breathing out the mouth. Nothing too crazy. Else, if you really think about breathing through your nose as well, I find you can concentrate a lot more and slow your heart rate down whilst you're on track. Whereas if you're just like panting loads, it throws everything off.
Breathing in dust like I was chasing you down there.
Yeah, exactly.
I find breathing's a funny one we talk about specifically with riding. You can go so deep into all these different breathwork techniques.
Yeah.
If we complicate it too much, it's often hard to think about that while you're riding. And all of a sudden we're not thinking about body position or cornering or anything like that, right?
Yeah, fully. It's just simple. In through the nose and out through the mouth and just go from there.
Fantastic. Wanted to ask you about managing confidence in a competitive environment. I know sometimes it can go one way or the other when we're surrounded by a whole bunch of other riders and we're coming in.
To be truthfully honest, I didn't really get on with managing confidence that well in the downhill race settings. Like, I've always ridden with other people on the track and they've always hyped me up. So I do feel like when I'm by myself on the track, I never ride as well. And it is hard to build up confidence. I did struggle like that. Like, I could go to Coronet next weekend and probably come last in that downhill race. I wouldn't be practicing well. Whereas if I went with my friends this weekend, I'd probably put down a top 5 time.
Yeah, so you feel like if you're able to chase someone. And
or just like being chased, or just like hyping with friends, or just like with my music, riding by myself, whatever. But like as soon as it becomes race setting, I don't know why, it all goes out the window for me. I don't have as much confidence or as much hype. Don't know why that is.
Yeah, it's so interesting how the people we surround ourselves with can change how we ride so much.
Yeah.
How do you go about choosing good riding buddies?
Oh, good point. I mean, just you know when like you click with someone. Like, we tend to ride in a big group and then it's like, oh, if there's certain people, I'm like, oh yeah, they shred. I want to ride more. Like, just say, let's go riding sometime and go from there, really. But definitely like, loud people I bounce off, like my friend Bryn, he's a legend. He is one of my favorite people to ride bikes because he's just super happy, always sending it and just like on the edge and just like hyping everyone up. And it like pumps you up as well.
That's fantastic. Yeah, so someone that's going to build you up. And,
yeah,
and
definitely. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I love that. On the other end of the spectrum, I've got managing confidence in racing environments. Do you ever get race nerves? And if so, how do you manage those?
Yeah, big time. Really nervous before racing. It's hard to manage it. Listening to music, big time. Listening to music, just like stretching, bit of like breathing, just slowing it all down. But at the end of the day, you get on that gate and your heart's going to be pounding anyway. So just talking to myself sometimes, just like slowing it right down.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
I love that. Yeah, not only like having some good tools to manage your nervous system, but also accepting that like, yeah, you're going to feel some race nerves.
Exactly. Yeah, like you're going to be nervous. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think like you said at the start, sometimes those nerves can be a good thing, hey? It means we care about the race.
Yeah, exactly.
If we weren't nervous, we probably weren't stoked to be there.
Yeah, I do feel like a certain level of nerves as well pumps you up. It's like, right, okay, like your heart's racing, the gate's about to jump. Bam, you hit that. You go on the first light because you're on it, your heart's already going. And I feel like sometimes you can race better that way.
Definitely. Yeah, I think there's a fine line between nervousness and excitement, hey?
Yeah, exactly.
And sometimes the two can be blended.
They definitely can, yeah.
For sure. So kind of winding the clock back to when you're in the UK, you did a fair bit of coaching as well as the racing.
Yeah, I did,
there.
Yeah.
I'd love to talk about that.
Ideal, yeah. Absolutely love that, to be honest. Had my own business. Coaching in South Devon, which was pretty sick. Was doing mountain bike coaching, also BMX coaching, which was fun. Back to my local BMX track where it all started. Coaching the kids there, doing like group sessions, one-on-ones. And then also going into schools and doing bikeability with kids, which is just teaching them road safety on bikes, really. Then also going into schools with kids with additional requirements, teaching them how to ride little trikes and stuff like that, which frankly was probably one of my favorite things.
I bet that was super
so rewarding. Yeah, absolutely loved it. It was brilliant, especially like the schoolwork as well, because you'll go into a school and the school provides all the bikes for the kids, and some of the kids don't have their own bikes at home. So like them going out on their bike for the day, they're absolutely loving it. And it was just like great to see. And wow. You finish the day buzzing.
Would have been the best day of the whole school year, I bet.
Yeah, exactly. Which is always fun to be a part of as well, because I'm a big kid myself, really.
Aren't we all? That's fantastic. So when did the whole coaching thing come about for you? Like, when did you decide, like, hey, this is something I'd like to try?
So when I was at sixth form, which is like you're 17, 18 at school, and I did like a few different subjects, but I really wasn't sure what I wanted to pursue. And I was always into sport, always into biking. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to study sports coaching and fitness at uni and then get more of an idea of what I want to do. So I did that. And then I was like, you know what? I actually quite enjoy the coaching thing. Started picking up a few shifts at the BMX track, just doing some shadowing. It kind of just went from there, really. Really enjoyed it and just set up my own business and just started from there, and it just escalated.
Super cool. Did you go straight into your own business or were you working for someone else?
I've done so many jobs in my time, but with the coaching, I was at the BMX track, I was working for another dude, but then with the mountain bike coaching, I shadowed a dude called Tony from Evolve Mountain Biking in South Devon. Great coach. And I shadowed him for a bit, and I was like, you know what, I want to start my own business, and just started it from then, really.
That's
when I was
cool.
Like, I don't know, 22?
Wow.
So like a few years back now.
It must have taken a lot of courage to
yeah.
22 and be like, right, I'm going to start a business. I'm going to go all in.
Yeah, it's pretty mad. My parents helped me a lot, like guided me and helped me set it up. And I got a website going.
Fantastic.
And, yeah. My dad's a big, big, big thanks for that, P-Bag.
That's fantastic. What was your business called?
MTB Devon. I've got
Devon.
A business. I don't have my wallet on me. I do have a business card. For everyone interested. The sessions are on hold, though, until I return, so.
We'll link the business card in the show notes.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So, talking about helping your students set goals for themselves, I'm sure they came in with all kinds of lofty goals and different things. How did you go about helping them set goals that, again, were achievable, yet not too far out of there?
Damn, yeah. I think just, like, building it up. So, looking at it. The local park I used to coach at, literally up the road from me, Skadson, they got loads of jumps there. It's like, right, if you can do the step up on A-line, it's pretty similar to this other jump, just slightly different. And just like analysing different jumps and just being like, also believing in yourself as well. Because I do feel like a lot of the time people don't believe in themselves enough. They're like, if you've done these jumps before, you can definitely do other jumps. They're pretty similar size. If you've done that, you can do this. So just like transferring skills over, really.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it. Do you often find, they're not taking note of like, yeah, what they have accomplished already?
Yeah, I find a lot of people are. And then you get kids who are trying to, and then the kids are the opposite.
Yes.
They're trying to like run before they can walk. And then you're trying to like pull them back a bit.
Do you find, I've seen like a complex like that where often kids will have higher confidence than technical skill.
Yeah.
adults are sometimes the opposite. They can do more than they think.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's hard to convince them otherwise.
It really is as well, because at the end of the day, it's very hard to tell yourself you can do this jump when your brain is like, you're going to crash, don't do it. And I do understand that's a really hard thing, but it's just like smaller steps. It's like, right, I've done this small double. I'm doing it fine. I'm confident. You know, the coach has said I'm getting on fine. Body positioning looks good. I can definitely do this next jump. And just like having confidence within yourself, really.
Yeah, it's a great process, isn't it? Because it's really hard if someone says, right, you need to believe in yourself more.
Yeah.
That's not just going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen at all. It's just like, just telling yourself, you know, I've got the skills to do this. I've been doing this. And also just in your mind, imagining it as well.
Totally,
just like
yeah.
imagining yourself doing this jump and landing it smooth.
Successfully.
I think
so often we can unconsciously rehearse what's going to go wrong. Yeah. I'm not good at this. I'm not good at that.
Yeah.
Whereas if we change it to the opposite, like you're saying, we're putting in those mental reps.
Yeah.
We're starting to build that self-belief.
Yeah. Fully, just self-belief. I can't remember what's the word for it when you're mentally imagining something.
Visualization.
That's what I'm looking for. Visualization. Yeah. My BMX coach, I was like 14, 15. He's like, right, every night before you go to bed, you need to visualize doing the perfect gait, the perfect jump. And I was only 14 or 15 at the time. I was like, I won't do that. But now I do. And it definitely does work. Like,
definitely.
Like positive visualization for sure. Like if you think something into existence enough, think it's going to happen and you're going to send it fine, then it will.
Yeah, I find it's almost like, creating those neural pathways in our brain before we've done it in the physical world.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like one less thing to think about consciously.
Yeah.
When we get to the track and we actually go to do the thing.
Yeah, and it's not so bad.
Yeah.
It's never as bad when you do it as well. It's like, oh, that's why I was scared. No reason.
Yeah, if we've done enough rehearsals, often it is like a bit anticlimactic, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Like, oh, that was easy.
That was
fine. It's because you've done all the work. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Beforehand. So interesting. What was one of the most common things you found yourself teaching students, like in the mountain bike world?
Everyone wants to learn how to jump, don't they?
Yeah.
Everyone wants to learn how to jump. Jumping and cornering. I'd say jumping, I'm good at coaching that. I'd say that's the thing I'm best at coaching because you can really just break it down, which I quite like doing as well. Like break it down to fully just like a grass field,
Fantastic. A
flat field, and then building up from there. Yeah, jumping. Even like, I know, you always get the dads, I want to learn how to jump. I'd say that was the thing I coach most.
Yeah, awesome. I love that idea of, dialing the terrain right down to a grass field.
Yeah.
And then building the skill set up before you hit the jump.
Fully, yeah. Even just like getting a stick and just like practicing, like, so like you bunny hop from the stick. So your front wheel hits the stick, the front wheel lifts. You're like, it's like an American bunny hop. And then as soon as your back wheel hits it, you lift up. Kind of like mimicking a lip, because some people will take both wheels off at the same time when they're doing a jump. You've probably seen it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're not actually driving their legs through the lip. So it's quite good to take it back down to basics and then just practice that on the flat. And like, it's crazy how many people can't do that.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I always say we've got to have that foundation first before we try and do anything cool on top, like jumps, drops.
Yeah, exactly.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Which it's fun doing that.
Awesome. So start to wind things down here just a little bit. Before we do that, I wanted to give you the opportunity. Is there any sponsors or industry partners you wanted to mention?
So this year I've been fully funded by myself. So I also want to thank my friend Vinny. She's been an absolute legend. She's given me a fair few components for my bike, and my friend Georgia as well. She helped me out with like 3 derailleurs in a row. What a legend. So thanks you guys. And yeah, I mean, pretty hungry for next year. I've got a few things in the works. So hopefully should have a year of bikes provided, but definitely needing some travel budget out there. And yeah, so travel budget would be amazing, and I'll ride my bike as well as I can and represent you.
Fantastic. Yeah, anyone in the industry listening, take note. Honestly, it's so cool to hear that you have been fully self-funded this year. It's no easy feat, like trying to chase the bike dream, travel around the world like you have been.
Yeah, it's really not, especially when you got the one bike and the poor Mega is falling apart, because like, when you ride one bike for everything, you know, you're trying to do bike park laps, then you're at Mini Dream and, you know, you're going Cadrona, Coronet, and the bike just claps out so quickly. So like trying to keep on top of maintenance and everything like that is hard. And it is an expensive sport. You know, it's not easy to get into because there's a lot of money behind it. So yeah, it's been a good year though, for sure. And it's kind of nice not having the pressure of sponsors sometimes, because you can fully do what you want. And I feel like I needed a year to figure out some stuff of what I wanted from the biking.
Yeah, it sounds like that's been really nice for you to go back and find what's really fun for you this year.
Definitely, yeah.
And then be able to now you're able to approach sponsors and be like, this is what I'm into, this is what I want to do.
Yeah, because I feel like I may have lost that. And moving here was always like, right, I'll move to Queenstown. And I know I want a bike, and at least if I'm there, I'm following that dream. And So yeah, I feel like it's been a pretty good year for that, even without the support.
That's fantastic to hear. Well, I'm sure there's some good things in the pipeline.
Yeah, yeah.
Keep doing what you're doing. But if people want to follow along with your adventures online, where can they do that?
You can follow me on Instagram. My name is Natasha Bradley, with two Y's at the end.
Awesome. And are you posting anything on YouTube or anywhere else?
I did used to have a vlog. It blew up a few years back. And I don't vlog anymore.
Fair enough. It takes a lot of time to do that kind of thing.
It does take a lot of time, yeah. I was never a huge fan, to be honest, of like the vlogging thing. But I was like, you know what, give it a go. My mum was like, you need to be vlogging. To make her happy, really, I started the vlog.
I love that.
But I haven't vlogged in a while, but maybe the fans want to vlog again, so who knows?
Yeah, give Natasha a shout if you want to see the vlog in action.
Comment, give me a follow on Instagram, comment on my post, and I'll make a vlog.
I love to hear it. I want to ask this question. Is there anyone that you look up to in the mountain bike world? Or if you had to pick one person, who would it be?
Vinnie Armstrong, because she's an absolute legend. Like, I feel like Vinnie has really transformed women's mountain biking. I mean, of course, there's a lot of other women out there who have been pushing the limits for so long. But Vinnie, the way she rides a bike, I've never seen a woman ride a bike like that. And it's just amazing. And like, it's just motivational as well. Like, she's an absolute shredder. So down to earth. It's just insane. The best whip on the planet.
Absolutely.
Shout out, Vinnie. You're a legend. Yeah.
Totally.
Big motivation, because it's like, damn, Vinnie's doing like dark first. Like, she's up dream getting sideways. Like, pushes me to push my limits as well. Like, she's doing that and I'm like, right, okay, I need to keep up.
Totally.
So,
super inspiring to see, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like, inspiring and
hopefully up leveling and remaining so humble about it all as well.
It's motivating for me. It's like, right, my tiny friend Vinny's sending it. I gotta do this.
That's fantastic. Yeah, keeping each other stoked. I love it.
Yeah we definitely do.
These days, what does a perfect ride look like for you and why?
The thing is, Queenstown's got so much riding. I mean, honestly, depends on the day. Bike park laps are insane. Pandemic's a good one. Gorge is also sick. Okay, start the morning with bike park laps, then mini dream in the afternoon, then dream, then gorge. Perfect
day
riding.
What a day.
What a day.
That's a mega day.
Yeah, that's a mega day. That's perfect day on the bike.
So starting off with the chair, doing some downhill laps, and then getting more and more. No, we
pretty much, yeah.
I love it.
I'd probably be cooked by dream, but I'd be there.
Fantastic. Well, if you do start the vlog back up, I'd love to see that day in action.
That would be a good day. I've claimed it now. I'm going to have to do it.
A 6-hour YouTube video.
Oh, yeah, it would. Lots of talking.
Fantastic. Yeah, well, speaking of talking, we've talked about all kinds of things. Really, really enjoyed this conversation. So many wisdom nuggets there. If you could send our listeners away with just one thing to remember and maybe take away with them on their next ride, what would it be?
Ooh. Don't worry about what bike you're on or what gear you're wearing or anything like that. No one cares. Everyone's just out there to have a good time, have fun. And everyone's got to start somewhere. Everyone started from a beginner level at the very bottom. You know, no one was already going as quick as Vinnie Armstrong. So just have fun and keep practicing.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Fantastic. So, thanks so much for sitting down with me today, coming for a ride. It's been a great time.
Yeah, it's been sick. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
What's up, guys? Just one more thing before you hit the trails. If you enjoyed this podcast, please be sure to subscribe and don't be a stranger. I'd love to hear from you about any topics or any particular episodes that you enjoyed, and even about any guests that you'd like to hear me have on the show in the future. You can find me on Instagram at the_mind_mountain. This podcast, mountain biking, and mindset are all things that are very close to my heart. So I feel super grateful to be able to share these conversations with you. So much love to you all for taking the time to listen. I'll see you next time.